Welcome to Advent. We're in week two. We've looked at hope, and now we're looking at peace. I had the privilege of camping on Fraser Island last year for the first time. And we spent some time near the beach. And I mean, you know how big the waves get and the wind, and the sand was everywhere. And it wasn't very peaceful. But then we took a trip into Central Station, and we spent the last few days at Central Station. And it was so peaceful. The huge trees, the trickling stream down the middle of the camp, and just spending time during the day, just listening to the silence. But even in the silence, hearing the birds, hearing the water, listening to the wind kind of make its way through the Valley of the Giants was such a peaceful time. And so today we're down here near the waterfall. Kind of replicating some of that peace that I want to talk about today. Normally, when we're in our Advent season and we're talking about peace, we're talking about kind of taking a breath and stepping back away from the crazy season, the commercialization of Christmas, to remember that this is a season of patiently and expectantly waiting for the coming of Christ. This year, it might be easy to look forward to some of that craziness after the season that we're in. But I know for myself that I've come to the end of this season and entering into this Advent season, maybe a little tired, a little anxious, and maybe even a little worried about the future. I wonder if you're anything like me and can maybe commiserate with some of those feelings. And it's such a good reminder for us in this season to take a pause, to remember that we are waiting for Jesus, but he is also here with us now. I'm reminded of the words of David in Psalm 119, where he says, "Great peace have they who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble." And I mean, I want that to be true. Right? I want that to be true in my life. And even as I think about the biblical character of David, it's a bit ironic to think that this guy is the one who is saying that. "Great peace have they who love your law." Because over and over again through David's life, he found himself in the valley, maybe a little bit depressed. He found himself in the wilderness, maybe feeling a little bit deserted. And he found himself in the storm, maybe even feeling a little bit like he was about to be destroyed. And yet he was able to say these words, "Great peace have they who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble." And I know for us in this Christmas Advent season of thinking about hope like we did last week, that there is no greater hope than light penetrating the darkness. And as we now shift our focus from hope to peace, to seeing what it looks like to have this peace, that only Jesus brings. Now, I know that for some, peace is this absence of conflict, right? But the peace that Jesus offers us is so much more than just the absence of conflict. It's wholeness. It's restoration. And nothing can shake that peace that God gives. There's a verse that I'd like to read before we move forward. It's from Isaiah. And it's this promise of peace. It's this promise of Emmanuel, this promise that God will be with us. And this is what it says. "The people were walking in darkness, and they've seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. To us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on to forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And before we jump into any more, I think it'd be great if we just took a moment to pray. Will you pray with me? God, thanks. Thanks for being with us. God, thanks that even in amongst all of the hubbub of everyday crazy life, we can pause. we can reflect, and we can enter into a season of hopeful expectation of the coming of Jesus. God, I pray that this peace that you offer and this peace that you bring would find a place in our hearts today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so what is this peace that Jesus offers us? What's this peace that we find in the scriptures, right? Like, what is this Prince of Peace that Isaiah is talking about? I know for me, I often have equated peace with the absence of conflict. You know, a bit like I said earlier, but I know that there are situations where there doesn't seem to be any outright hostility, but we know that there's something underneath that's missing. There's this missing relationship, or there's this tension that can come in. And the peace that the Bible talks about is very different than just the absence of conflict. The word that the scriptures use is shalom. It's a Hebrew word. And the connotation of shalom is wholeness, completeness. It's a restoring act, right? If there are gaps or holes in the wall, that shalom fills those gaps, makes up the difference. If something has been taken away or lost, shalom brings it back and restores it to its full capacity, its wholeness, its peace. And that's the word that we use in English, is peace. And in the New Testament, the word that they use is Irene. I think I'm saying that correctly. But it's the same idea that we have from the Hebrew word shalom, that there's no brokenness, that there's full restoration, that God is with us. And in that, he takes what is broken, he takes what is missing, and he restores to us this peace, this shalom. This is what Jesus is talking about, right? In the book of John, chapter 14, where his followers, his closest friend, his disciples, they're troubled, right? He's been telling them this story about how he's going to be going to the cross, how he's going to be the sacrifice for our sins. And he's telling them that he's leaving. And he says, don't be troubled, right? I'm leaving you my peace. And my peace is different than what the world brings. It's a different kind of situation, right? It's a restoration. It's not just a fixing of our circumstances, but it's a helping us become complete again. And this is the peace that Jesus says that he gives us. And even into Ephesians chapter 2, which I'd like to read it, Paul is talking again about how actually Jesus is our peace. And this is what it says. And this is in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. It says, but now in Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near because of the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commands and its regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. Right? This is so revolutionary, right? This idea that Jesus doesn't only give us his peace, but that he is our peace, that where we're lacking, where we're broken or we're missing, his peace comes in and makes us whole. Right? He is our peace. That no matter where you find yourself today, in this unprecedented year of big change, of crazy times, of sickness, of separation, right? There's so much going on that I would find it hard to believe if there's any among us that haven't felt like they've been in the valley, or they've been in the wilderness, or that they're in the middle of a storm. And like David, we've often felt probably depressed, probably deserted, or probably a little bit like we're about to be destroyed. But Jesus comes into this space, the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, and he says these incredible words, not only to his disciples, but to us. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And I don't give it as the world gives. Jesus is not this Indian giver. Like, that is an incredibly weird way to say it. But he doesn't give and then take away. He's not capricious. He gives us himself. He makes peace for us. He comes in as Emmanuel, God with us, not to just fix our circumstances, but to be with us in the storm, to be with us in the wilderness, to be with us in the valley. Because like I love to say, right, it is what it is until it's something different. And Jesus is with us. And because of him, it won't always be the way that it is today. It's so amazing, this peace that Jesus offers us, right? I know, though, that when I'm in the valley, or I'm in the wilderness, or I feel like I'm in the storm, that it's hard to hear that, right? It's hard to feel like that peace is available, right? It's the threat of future pain, or the threat of whatever pain I'm in at that moment, seems to overshadow this peace that Jesus offers. And I know that for me, I've been told my entire life that I have a wild imagination. And I see that even now in my own kids, who have just the most creative brains. And I think about that because that's a gift, but also it can be scary when our imagination gets ahead of us. And so how can I stop this threat of future pain, or this anxiety, or this worry that is just so, I think, commonly prevalent in the season that we can find ourselves in, like the valley or the wilderness or the storm? And I'm reminded, right, as I was thinking about this, of our very first online service, when we were throwing everything together and we were pivoting hard into bringing everything online, and nothing was easy, everything was new, everything was difficult and uncertain. We had my friend Esther read some scripture to us at that very beginning. And she said this, right? When you're in a fix, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And right, this is this great verse, right? When don't be anxious about anything, but with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, bring those requests to God. And he will meet your needs, right? He will give us the peace that passes all understanding. And then our hearts and our minds will be guarded in Jesus, who is our peace, right? And it goes on. And so I would add, after the Philippians 4, 6, and 7, that there's a couple of things that Paul gives us in that will help us, whatever valley you're in, whatever wilderness you find yourself in, or whatever storm you're waiting for Jesus to say, peace be still to. He says, whatever's pure, whatever's noble, whatever's a good report, think about those things, right? Paul often talks, even in Corinthians, about taking captive our imagination and bringing it under the lordship of Christ, or reassigning our thought structures to the things that we know are true, right? Think about the things that are true. Think about the things that we know. Jesus is our Prince of Peace, that he is with us, that we have the promise of his presence. But he doesn't stop there. Paul also invites us into something more than just thinking about things. He invites us to practice things, right? He says, whatever you've seen me do, whatever you've learned from the disciples or this journey of following Jesus, put those things into practice. Now, we didn't get to see Paul in action, but we are disciples of Christ, and we do have this muscle memory that we haven't really exercised in maybe the same way that we're used to over the last 8-9 months. So what does it look like for us to practice these things that we know are true? What does it look like for us to get together, to sing, to worship, to come back as a gathering on a Sunday, or as a small group in a home, or even just walking across the street and being generous to our neighbors? What does it look like for us to invite others into our home for a meal, or simply to encourage one another? I had somebody encourage me last Sunday, and it was amazing, right? These words of encouragement that someone I didn't even know, but who knew me, spoke words of life and words of encouragement. I'm so grateful for those words in Proverbs that says, the person who refreshes others will themselves be refreshed, right? I am willing to take that to the bank forever. That is something that I wanted to put into practice in my own life and have seen the benefits of. Just a simple word of encouragement. So whatever season you find yourself in, as we head into Christmas, as we head into this Advent season of patient expectation, of waiting for Jesus, He is here with us, but we want to mark the time of looking at hope, looking at peace, looking at love, and looking at joy. I hope that you'll take time to reflect on these words of peace, that Jesus is our peace, that He has given us Himself, and that we, no matter where we're at, in the wilderness, in the valley, in the storm, that He is with us, and that He has given us His peace. And so I hope that we'll remember in this Christmas season that there's no greater hope than light penetrating the darkness. And there's no greater peace than Jesus restoring those things that were missing, those things that were incomplete, those things that were broken to their fullness, so that we can be all that we were designed to be in His kingdom, helping people understand that they can be whole as well. We're going to head into a song now. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's a favorite carol. And I hope that you'll take this time to just reflect on the truth of God's word as we sing this song, Silent Night.
See?